Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
I'm Guy Raz, and on NPR's How I Built This, how a simple splash of color accidentally launched Sandy Chilowich into a 40-year career as a designer, entrepreneur, and creator of the now famous Chilowich placemat. Subscribe or listen now.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. They say there is strength in numbers, and our guests today prove that point. The Texicana Mamas are a supergroup of sorts. They are three powerful Latina indie artists who span generations and genres, but all with common roots in Texas. The Texicana Mamas are Patricia Von Rodriguez, Stephanie Urbina Jones, and Tishy Nahosa. Patricia Von Rodriguez's music has been featured in films made by her brother, director Robert Rodriguez, and she adds actress and filmmaker to her resume. Stephanie Urbina Jones's music is a powerful blend of commercial country music and what she calls Latina-rooted Americana. And Tish Hinojosa has been releasing albums since 1989, and her website describes her as a mix between Patty Griffin and Lydia Mendoza. And I've been a fan of hers since her first album, and I would wholeheartedly agree with that description. We recorded this interview back in January. They were going to release their first album together in the spring, but it was put on hold for obvious reasons. Their debut self-titled album was released a few weeks ago, and we're going to hear the rest of this track from the album. But first, let's meet the Texicana Mamas.
Hi, I'm Tish Hinojosa.
My name is Stephanie Urbina Jones.
And I'm Patricia Von Rodriguez.
This track is called Abundancy.
Every moment is a living prayer. The music of life is everywhere. Butterflies are born and the tulips sing. Hallelujah, every spring. There are seeds of hope and silver linings. Darkness will give way to the sun shining.
Thank you, ladies, so much for being here. So you guys are traveling as Texicana Mamas. Tell us a little bit about the idea and how it came together.
Patricia. Well, last year, about a year and a few months, I was going to Nashville for the first time, actually. And I knew Stephanie. We're all from San Antonio. I knew she lived there. So I said, hey, man, girl, I'm coming up to Nashville. And it's during Americana Fest. Do you have any singer-songwriter thing I could just be a part of? I can bring my castanets and, you know, just say, hey, I play Nashville, you know, as an indie artist. That was huge, you know. And she got the Bluebird Cafe for us, and she said, wow. It happens to be a Mexican Independence Day weekend, and they were wanting to do a Latin-based show, Latinas. She says, but they need to know today, and we need one more Latina, or else it's not going to be ours. So I texted Tish, and she goes, I'm in. And she saved it. She saved it. But the magic, the synergy that night of us telling our stories, of where we came from and behind our songs. Our music is very different, like, you know, folk meets country meets flamenco meets rock and all-American rock and roll. And, you know, with Castilian and Mexican influences.
And the passion,
behind it all.
And people were dancing. This is the shh club. You know, nobody talks to the Bluebird because people are listening.
Right. Right.
People were dancing on the tables and the pews at the Bluebird. It was amazing.
You had video to show
we
for
have
it.
Video,
I think that I was fortunate to see you guys last night at the Kennedy Center's fabulous show. So I think what we want to try to do is for people who haven't seen the show yet, because they will, people will see this eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is we want to try to recreate that, because what you did is you each had songs, you went through the line and you each played some of your songs, but you told stories about your background, you told stories about what it is to be in this country, and in particular in Texas, and in particular in San Antonio, the whole bicultural existence and reality that doesn't really exist anywhere else except in Texas. And I think that one of the things we want to do with the show is be able to explore that bicultural existence. Like you said, how you eat, how you dress, how you talk. I hear a lot of y'alls, you know, I guess from when I talk to people from Texas, right? So, Tish, let's start with you, because one of the things that stood out to me, I mean, I saw you at a journalism conference, God, years ago, maybe in the early 90s.
It was in the early 90s. Yeah,
you performed, I forget what, maybe it was San Antonio even.
It was San Antonio.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, it's all coming back.
It's all coming back to me.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started and what you were playing in your earliest days.
Mm-hmm. At that time, I had just gotten signed to A&M Records, and I was finally, after, you know, 10 or 15 years of pursuing music in a serious way, finally got record deal and all that kind of stuff. So things were finally going well for me. And one of my most important messages that I wanted to take with me was to take my culture everywhere I go. And so I really focused on bilingual songwriting and writing stories about people, Mexican American experience, like my parents, you know, for instance, their story called The West Side of Town was one of my first songs released. And so my journey was that. I mean, I had experienced Nashville and hadn't had such a great experience there. I mean, I have a lot to remember in a good way, but I learned a lot, I'll have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of figured that was not the direction I wanted to go at that time, because they wanted to kind of reform me to be something else. And I kind of stuck to my guns and said, well, I want to be a singer-songwriter. I don't want to just be a singer that you find songwriters to find clever lyrics for.
Sure.
You know? So, yeah, so I mean, I'm glad that I mean, I'm glad I stuck to my guns and things kind of went that way, because I took a big gamble to do that. But yeah, it was quite an amazing time, just because of opening doors and doors being opened for me, and people in the Latino community everywhere in the United States, mm-hmm, were, you know, suddenly telling me, "Hey, you're telling our story." And to me, that was like, wow, that's so cool, because this is my story. And so that was my experience during those early days.
And I think it's important to know, to put it into some historical context. I mean, while we have artists now, and in particular, I'm thinking of Kerry Rodriguez, who's also from San Antonio.
Right.
You know, like back then, you were a trailblazer. You were a pioneer, because there was Mexican music, and then there was folk, and then there was country music. Right. And mm-hmm, they were all separate. They were all different bins at the record store.
Right.
And what really stood out to me in your early albums like that is like, oh, my God, that's all three. There's all of these different cultures and all these different sounds and influences coming out in your music at the same time. And we, like I said, we hear it now. But back then, like you were out there all alone. And I can't imagine how difficult it was to try to create. If you weren't in, like, what do I put? Do I belong here? Do I belong here? Do I belong here? Especially with the music industry, they always want to put people, mm-hmm, in some specific places. And I've always wanted to give you props and thank you for being a trailblazer like that. I still have those albums, man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yay! No, that's I'm glad it worked out. I mean, there were frustrating times and all that, you know, in not feeling quite understood. But mm-hmm, I think just
naturally doing what I do, and then people kind of just get it, you know, they get it, and it's good. I try to not lean too heavy on the, you know, Chicano power,
right.
Which, I mean, I do believe in it, but at the same time, I also believe in, you know, Pete Seeger and folk music,
sure.
and his way of making, you know, putting a message across through lyrics, telling the story of the farm workers, and like my song Something in the Rain.
Right.
So, you know, I think storytelling, in which all three of us are very good at, I mean, we love telling our stories, and I think the storytelling element of our all three of our music is what kind of ties us together too, and also to our community.
The whole idea of that, it is a bicultural existence here in the United States. You know, we listen to corridos, we listen to the Rolling Stones.
Well, of course we do. And and I'm so glad to have my sisters here who have come up a little bit behind me. I'm their big sister, almost mom. But I love you know how their stories have come about too.
This is a perfect spot to play this track, Amigas del Corazón, from the Texicana Mamas. So, Stephanie Urbina Jones, let's talk about your background and how you got started in the music and what leads you to this point where you're joining forces like this.
Well, I was born in San Antonio, like Tish and Patricia, and from the backyards of the West Side, where mariachi influenced my heart in country music. I also then grew up in the honky-tonks of Texas in the Hill Country. And really, I think the most important starting place besides being a huge fan, I was a huge fan. I had so much respect for Tish because she was the trailblazer, you know. She was on the Corona trucks on 6th Street. And between her and Linda Ronstadt, I was right? like, wow, is there a place for us? Is there a place for us in American music? My abuelita was passing from this world to the next. And by this time, I was in Nashville writing songs, a staff writer for Sony. And I flew to be her by her bedside, and she was walking between the worlds. She was talking to my grandfather and her father, Manuel, who'd come across the border And she was talking to me on this side. And she took my hand at this point and she says, Mija, she says, you're going to be a mensaje. You're going to be a messenger. She says, you're going to be carrying country music with chili peppers all over the world. And unlike Tish and Patricia, I didn't grow up so much in the culture, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd been held from me, except for when I was really little. And I said, Grandma, I can't. You know, I don't even speak the language fully. And she says, Mija, you're going to do this. And so she put a mission on my heart, and that was almost 20 years ago. And I went to Mexico and started saturating myself and fell in love with our culture. And my heart just became on fire for sharing it in every way that I could, and especially in music and in songs. And so here I am, 6 albums later, and my music as a solo artist is called Honky Tonk Mariachi, singing country music with chili peppers with mariachi.
Just like Abuelita said.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like Abuelita said.
Patricia.
Yes.
Let's.
All right, man. You know, I'm one of 10 children. I went to the same high school as Tish. We went to Providence High School. 5 girls, 5 boys in my family. My mother, when she was growing up, she was forbidden to speak Spanish, you know, and they would, you know, get whacked on the hands if they even tried. So when we were growing up, the way she taught us Spanish, you know, our second language was through music, the mariachis, you know, Mexican folk songs. It was very important to her to teach us in that way. And my dad was a traveling salesman, 39 years, selling pots and pans door to door. My mom was a psychiatric nurse that worked at night in order to be home when we got home from school. So they sacrificed everything. And watching their work ethic really instilled in us 10 children that work ethic. You know, the mariachis, they would invite the mariachi trio or quartet to our home for any kind of celebration. So can you imagine all of us children growing up with them live performing in our living room in front of us? And
wow.
How could that not be like a spirit of the heart and just like inspire you to go for the arts, you know? And so my older brother, Robert Rodriguez, made El Mariachi. He's the writer and director of the film Mariachi. What kind of throws people off is I use my middle name, which is because when I moved to New York in 1990, in order to find work, they wouldn't hire me as Rodriguez. I walked in and I looked French or Italian. They would say, you look, what are you, Greek, Italian, French? I go, so I use my middle name, Patricia Vaughn. It's Patricia Vaughn Gracia Rodriguez. I say, hey, man, just pick one. Just hire me. You want French, Italian, can speak a little bit of each. So now, you know, when I on stage or, you know, when my brother casts me in a movie, I go, use my whole name, Patricia Vaughn Rodriguez.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he said, he feels that, I make these movies for Latinos to hire Latinos so they don't have to change their name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm up there like a beacon. Yeah, thanks. So I feel inspired to tell stories. And one of the inspiring stories is that you yesterday gave us a shot to be here on your amazing show.
Oh, thank you.
So gracias. Yeah. Viva la raza.
Viva la raza.
Of course. Some of the best storytelling happens in kitchens. This is called Cocina de Amor.
Barbacoa in the backyard, frijoles on the stove. A breeze through the window, flaco on the radio. Abuelitas in the kitchen, making pollo con arroz. Tamales y pan dulce en mi cocina.
Cocina de amor.
Ay, complete with roosters, Cocina de Amor from the Texicana Mamas. You're listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras, and I'm talking to the group Texicana Mamas. Now back to an interview we recorded back in January during the band's visit to Washington, D.C. Since we've talked about the personal and the cultural backgrounds, let's each talk about at what point did you know that you wanted to be a musician,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because it's not an easy path, obviously. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of reward, but there's probably even more sacrifice. And that's the part that people don't see. At what point, Tish, did you say, you know what, I'm going to be a musician. This is my path.
For me, well, I mean, it was my aha moment was when I was about 10 years old. And Linda Ronstadt's song, Different Drummer, came on the radio. And her voice just captivated me, and the song, too. I love pop, that era right. of pop music. And I couldn't say her last name. I wasn't sure what her last, but I'd call the radio station up and request that song over and over again.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And I realized that I loved that music touched me. And I'm the youngest in my family of 13 kids.
Wow.
And my older sisters played music, and I was impressed by, you know, one sings opera and, you know, beautiful. She's a piano player and, you know, everything. But as a 5-year-old, I loved, you know, she was my idol. But then when Linda Ronstadt came along, like 1967, I said, oh, this is it. This is what I want to do.
And at the time, we didn't know that she was Latina. We didn't know that she had Mexican heritage, right?
Correct.
Right. I found out soon after, because I followed her career a lot, and mm-hmm. I realized that, yeah, she was Mexican-American. I thought mm-hmm. that made me like her even more.
Right.
And then Joan Baez, of course, once I started playing guitar and singing, then the whole folk music thing came about 2 or 3 years later. And then I was so happy to know that Joan Baez was also Mexican-American.
Right.
So I was like, wow, these are my heroes.
So, like, what years are we talking about? Because that would also put us into the context of what other kind of music was happening.
Well, I think
I don't want to, not to get into your age or anything, but I just want to put
era,
it in context.
That era of music, I was born in 55, so in 1967, I was, what, about 12 or 13?
Sure, yeah.
And actually, so that's when I heard Different Drum. I wasn't 10, I was 12.
Uh-huh.
But the music of that time was just, it was, folk music was pop music at that time. And that's what all those songs and the songwriters like Paul Simon and, you know, the songs that were playing, you know, Bridge Over Troubled Waters and, you know, everything that was going on in the country and the unrest and the movements that were going on
mm-hmm.
with civil rights, and the Mexican-Americans were rising too, the Brown Power. And,
right.
you know, there was a very, very, for as a kid, I guess it surprises me a little bit that I was so aware of the cultural things that were going on in the country. You know, a lot of times kids don't pay attention to that,
right.
but I was very aware, and that was something that also, so it was woven into the music of that time, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And I didn't know I wanted to be a songwriter. I didn't know that I was capable of being a songwriter, because I thought songwriters were Paul Simon or Bob Dylan, like you're inspired by God or something, like, you know, when you're a songwriter. But I didn't start writing songs until like the mid-80s when I moved to Nashville, and I was sitting around with songwriters, and I was going, well, they're not very different than me. I'm going to give this a try. And I started, you know, penning my own simple country songs, and I thought, hey, I can do this.
Wow.
And that's kind of where and before I knew it, I was just writing like crazy. It was just like I opened a channel up there, and it all came pouring out.
What did, you said you're the youngest of 13. What did the rest of your family think?
They've always thought I was kind of an oddball, because I'm kind of different than my sisters and my brothers. Because they're all very normal, you know, regular people with regular jobs. and I always was a little bit different. And I started entering, like, talent contests on my own. Like, no one in my family was pushing me. It was like me, I'd say, hey, there's going to be a Parks and Recreation's talent show. I'm going to go, you know, sing, you know, Will You Love Me Tomorrow?
Wow.
Or something. And
right.
So, yeah, and it was, you know, I don't know why I was driven to do that, but because I wasn't really like a super outgoing person or anything, but it was just something that I loved singing, and I wanted to share it, I guess. But, and it was scary. I mean, it's like, people say, like, why do you do that? Because, you know, I'd have sweaty palms and I'd be so like nervous and, you know, going crazy and like, why am I doing this to myself? But any time I'd get in front of an audience, I just felt immediately comfortable. And my family actually was my first audience, and they're pretty tough, you know. Your family's always a tough audience.
I can imagine.
Like they'd say, oh, Tish, sing for us. So I'd get my guitar and start singing. Then everybody starts talking. I'm going, well, are y'all going to talk or are you going to listen? You know? So it kind of gave me thick skin for playing clubs and stuff like that when I was young.
That's funny. This is one of my favorite Tish Hinojosa songs. This is Amanecer from her album Taos to Tennessee.
Amanecer, sueño inquieto se va.
Okay, Stephanie, when did you get that aha moment?
I feel like there were kind of cosmic breadcrumbs along the way.
Oh, that's, you know, a good one.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, when I was four, I still can remember the feeling of seeing this now, where we are. I could see, have that experience of being on a stage and this communion that happens between an artist and an audience, back and forth. But it scared me, and I kind of pushed it down for a long time because, again, like Tish, that didn't seem realistic, you know? But that which was in me just kept chasing me, I think. And a couple of things. I got to Nashville, and I wrote my first song called One in a Million, and I got a gig at the Bluebird, actually. Aww. I got to sing, and I remember my boyfriend at the time was a song plugger in Nashville, and he was a very critical guy. And at the end of it, he paused, and he said, "You have it." I'm like, "Well, I have what?" He said, "You have it. You have that thing." And that meant a lot to me, and I kind of moved forward on that. And, of course, then my abuelita died, and she put the mission on my heart. And then soon after that, I wrote this song called Adios, Mis Amigos, which we perform. And I wrote it, and my dad ran into some mariachis down in the Mercado in San Antonio, and I was in Nashville. And he says, "Mia, I know you love mariachis. You got to come meet these guys. They're like young mariachi, and they're doing all these innovative things." And so we set up an appointment, and we went to San Antonio, and we were rehearsing in the Mexican-American Unity Council. And the head of the council came down while we were rehearsing this song. And she said, on this day, she said, "Henry B. Gonzalez just passed, our icon."
Henry B. Gonzalez was a legendary and iconic congressman from San Antonio.
That's right. Representing, yeah. And so she said, "He just passed, and we're going to create a tribute for him. Do you have a song that y'all could do?" And I said, "Well, we're playing this song called Adios, Mi Amigo that I wrote." And we played it for her, and she cried, and she said, "Could you go record it this week, and we could have it for the tribute?" And so we did, and we performed it, and people said, "Oh my God, it's like Patsy Cline, mariachi." And that song became the first song from my first album. So I feel like those were the cosmic breadcrumbs that kind of led the way. And of course, it's how the Texicana Mamas we end our set. But it's the cultural combination that, I mean, I am a songwriter first. I love writing songs. I love that communion that happens. But it really is, through being an artist, it is in celebrating our culture and bringing that passion, that love, that happens, you know, from our culture. That's what really turns me on as an artist.
There's a season for hello and a season for goodbye. That's the way the world goes around on this wheel of life.
Adios, mi amigo, from Stephanie Urbina Jones. You're listening to Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras, and we're talking to the group Texicana Mamas about their new self-titled album. And we're going to hear now from Patricia Von Rodriguez about what got her interested in being a musician.
First of all, I was a very shy girl. I think that I didn't start talking until I was almost four. And being one of 10 children, I felt very comfortable singing with my family. We were like the Mexican Von Trapp family singers. And with my mama teaching us all those amazing songs, Guantanamera, I was like, but if I was, you know, I remember her dropping me off at kindergarten and having to leave me there, and I felt so abandoned. I was like, I didn't even answer to roll call. I just hid. And so for me to be a singer on stage and screaming my heritage out loud and Viva la Patria, and an activist, and like, wow, where did that come from? Music, and which is why I think education, music, and the arts will save the world. It brings something out of people that they don't normally know is there. Everyone is an artist in their heart. They probably just don't know it yet. But my first impetus was watching Johnny Reno and the Sax Maniacs from Fort Worth, Texas, and on stage, so uninhibited, with a saxophone climbing on the bar on my table. I was like in my teens, 14. My dad brought me and my brother Robert to go see him. And that changed my life. I was like, gosh. And inside me, I was like, man, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be so uninhibited. Why am I so shy? But and then the Cruzados from East LA, who hit right when Los Lobos were hitting, and they are now Tito and Tarantula, who scored many of my brother's films.
Right.
They had a Spanish song on their album, but they were Mexican rockers. Chicano rock.
Yeah. It was a part of the punk scene.
Part of the punk scene. And so I love to rock out, you know?
Yeah.
But they put their thumbprint of the Español, you know, Flor de Mal. And it just, it's like, and it's like, they are our voice. And then this is the one that really hit me, that I can do that, was watching Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in my hometown, but with Lone Justice opening, and it was fronted by Marie McKee.
Correct.
Screaming it out of the stratosphere, wielding around that acoustic guitar in a gingham dress with heels, and owning it. Owning that stage like Johnny Reno, and owning it. And I was like, when I saw her, I went, I can do that. I want to do that. So then I moved to New York, because funny enough, being a shy girl, I was like, I can't do it in San Antonio. Everybody will know me. Gosh. I mean, you kind of have to accomplish things in secret. My sister lived in New York after college. She's the firstborn, the trailblazer for all us kids. And she said, you come on up here. And so I did. And that's where I started my band. And we're going there later today to New York to perform. So I'm going back to my stomping grounds.
That's
I lived
awesome.
There for 11 years, started my band there with transplanted Texans. And I had a following as Patricia Von, V-O-N-N-E. And, you know, they followed me. And so 7 albums later, but I have to say it was the combination, like you said, it was a bit of the mariachi and then the Cruzados from East L.A.
Yeah.
And on my newest album, I wrote a song with Steven Medina Hufstetter, the lead guitarist of the Cruzados.
Wow.
And Tito is a family member. He has sung on my album. So, and Johnny, we co-wrote a lot of songs together, and he's in my music videos. And like family members now. Familia.
Okay, this is Patricia Von Rodriguez rocking out and owning the stage. This is City Is Alive from her 2015 album called Top of the Mountain.
The city is alive.
Ladies, I'm just so honored that you guys came in to do this today.
We're
thank you so
thank
much.
You.
This
Gracias.
Is such a big deal.
Thank you so much.
And promise to come back.
Yes.
We'll do
okay.
this again.
Okay.
Even if we, maybe I'll go to San Antonio next time.
Please, yes. we'll float down the river in the Guadalupe, you know, in the little
boat. Let's do a show from the river walk.
Yeah! Yeah.
Ole! Ole!
Okay. Tishy Nohosa, Stephanie Urbina-Jones, Patricia Vaughn, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you.
Thank
Gracias.
You so much.
Yes.
Ay, 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 mi amor, ay, mi moreno de mi corazón.
My thanks again to the Texicana Mamas. Their new self-titled album came out just a few weeks ago, so check it out. You have been listening to All Latino from NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras. As always, thanks so much for listening, and please, please be careful out there.
Me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor.
Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi moreno de mi corazón. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi moreno de mi corazón.
Guitarra, me gusta cantar el sol. Mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor.
Ay, 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 mi amor, ay, mi moreno de mi corazón. Ay, 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 mi amor, ay, mi moreno de mi corazón.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.